Let's go to Psalm 35:27. We're going to get started, and this is going to, those of you that were here last night, this is just going to push you further on over. The Lord showed me something early this morning that I'm real excited to deliver to you. Psalm 35:27. Let me know when you get there. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome, internet audience. We're glad that you're with us tonight. It's going to be a great night. We're going to Psalm 35:27. Just, you want to follow along with us? Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Then I want to read you this scripture. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospers. You read through the Bible, it's pretty obvious that God wants you to prosper. The word prosper is uodu. It's a strange word, sounds strange, but it gives you the feeling that you get about this word when you look at it in the original is that it's as if you were going down the road and someone was helping you get down the road. They were launching you, helping you have success. They're giving you a push. Kind of like when you gave your kid that push on the bicycle. Mm-hmm. Amen. So now we've stated this many times that the blessing, our true prosperity is taking God's ability and helping mankind. So we're not limiting this to dollars. We're limiting this to your soul prospering, to you being prosperous, to you having victories, to life-changing things going on with you, your influence in this world. So if you help someone along the way, then you're prospering them. And so it's a lot more than financial transactions. But it is financial transaction. It's both. And now remember what we learned, that we leave a prosperity trail wherever we go. We're all about to go. Many of us are going to go to the Believers Convention. Ooh, glory. I don't know. This might be number 34 for me, I think. 35? Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. So going for 35 years, I love it still when I almost cry every time I walk into that place because it's changed my life so much. But you think about all the prosperity trail you can leave and you're like, what are you talking about? Money? No, I'm talking about doing people right. Tip the waitress. Yes. Pick up your towels and put them somewhere where it's not so hard for the hardworking person cleaning up your room. Don't just leave a horrible mess. Don't just be throwing clothes all over the floor. And, you know, leave a prosperous trail. And there's so many ways you can do that with people. That's just a couple that I was thinking of. I want to say this to you about prosperity. This is a huge hint right here, okay? Nobody becomes successful by themselves. You need to remember that. Nobody becomes successful by themselves. All of us need the right people to launch us into our destinies. And so God has given each one of us the specific assignment to complete in our lifetimes. But you're not going to complete your assignment until you find your people. You can't find your purpose till you've found your people. A lot of people don't understand that. You know, it's just me and Jesus and I'm going to find it. But you probably noticed that when you locked into the place you were supposed to be church-wise, all of a sudden your life started changing. You started getting a boost. If you didn't, you might want to pull in a little closer with people and find out what's going on. There's a remarkable phenomenon in physics called resonance. Have you heard the word? And it explains the sense that we have when we meet people. Scientists tell us that all matter vibrates at a specific frequency. Is that right? And so listen to this. It says resonance occurs when an object's natural vibration frequency responds to an external stimulus of the same frequency. Hey, man, I really resonate with that guy. I really resonate with that girl. I really resonate with what's going on at that church. I resonate. I get it. I'm on the same wavelength as them. I get that. So when you find your people, see, that happened with me. I went to all kinds of different churches when I was in my, when I was a little kid, I was a Baptist, and then I was a holy roller for a while in a non-denominational church, and it was good, but it was still legalism stuff, and it was not word of faith at all. It was, you know, God's gonna get you type stuff, but I love the people. I thank God for them. But when I heard Brother Copeland, my frequency went off. I resonated. I went, oh, God is good. And then I, so what happened? So I joined my people. And when I joined my people, I got launched. And all of a sudden, I go to this one church and there's this lady prophet there. And she says, you're a teacher and a prophet. And I'm sitting there going, who's she talking about? But she pulled it out right then. And so of course it, you know, you have to grow and everything. I had to do some growing, but I began to resonate with the kind, she was a word of faith preacher, and I began to resonate with those kind of people. And then the more I pulled into that, the more I kept getting connected with those people, and the more I learned, and the more it was able to launch me into what, you know, finally Pastor John, you know, it launched us in what we needed to do. And so then when we all got together, I remember the first time y'all came. It was over. They were like, oh yeah, we resonate with this. This is where we're going. There's no problem with it. They got it. Amen. So find your church, find your tribe, and it'll make all the difference in your prosperity. And so here you are. You're in your church, you're in your tribe, and you found your people. So this is then the next thing you do. The next thing you do is real easy. Pretty sure that 90% of the people in here already do this, seek the kingdom first. Now, the reason you seek the kingdom first is because the kingdom always has success. You get that? The kingdom always goes to the top. So if you're in it, if you get in the elevator that's going up, you're going up with it. That's all right. Preach it. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, we're all going to know every time Dee's not here because she's not well. See, so everybody's going to wonder where she is all the time when she doesn't come. I'm playing. Praise the Lord. She preaches out and stuff. Okay. So, so we seek the kingdom. So this is not something religious. Well, if you will just follow God and seek. This is who we are. We're citizens of the kingdom. So we seek to work in covenant boundaries. Amen. So now the kingdom works through the power of the blessing, which is what we've been talking about. The blessing is the empowerment to prosper. So here's a truth. Since the beginning, church, this is the truth. God did not design us to earn a living. He designed us to create a living. Do you hear me? So this is not just about you going and taking any old job and being a slave to it. It's about you finding who you are. You find your people, you find your place, you find your tribe, and you say, well, it's taken me too long. Well, you're just about there. Because these are the days you're going to find out who you are and the assignment you need to have, and you're going to trip right into it. Yes. Either that or I'm going to push you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. God will get you up and put you to bed if you're willing to listen to what he has to say. And you know, sometimes people get really frustrated about it, but just relax because you're in your day. You're in your day. Now, so we want to create our living. Now you're saying, well, I don't want to be an entrepreneur. I want to work for a company. You can do that. You can be creative. We made a place for ourselves where we worked. We created spots. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where they went, oh yeah, well, we actually need somebody to do that. Well, we're doing it, you know. Praise the Lord. So that happens. So the blessing working in you and on you will bring creativity. Now, I've said this to you many times, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, so the curse has been taken care of. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile, might come upon someone besides a Jew. So it's now, the blessing is now, if you are a born-again believer, the blessing is on you. It's not a prayer at dinner time. It's the blessing. Okay. It might come upon. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Okay. So it's an anointing that comes. Now, let's talk about Abram just for a minute. I want to walk you through something, and then I want to show you something I discovered this morning that I think is going to change things for us. Genesis 12:1. You know it. Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of your country, Genesis 12:1, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, confer the blessing on you, and I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Notice it said he'd make his name great. You're like, well, I don't care if my name's great. Yeah, you do. Now I'm not talking about being popular. I'm talking about being purposeful. I'm talking about you being an influence. They'll know, people are watching you right now. They're watching you because you're a Christian. They're watching you to see what's going to happen in your life. And people will be drawn in by your success. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, I will bless those that bless you. I will curse him that curses you. And in all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. I will bless you. See that? I will bless you. When God blesses, it's not with a little gift. Here, let me bless you. When God blesses, he's conferring a power on you. Amen. He's putting the power to you. Glory to God. We'll just say that. So he put the whole thing on Abram. He put the whole thing on him. So, Abram, now you have the power to succeed in anything and everything. Now, church, Jesus put it on you. So you have the power to influence. You have the power to be an influence. It doesn't mean you have to fill a stadium. It means that in the walk of the life, in what you're doing, what God called you to do in your assignment, you'll have such great success and charisma.
Yes. Amen.
That people are going to go, yeah.
Amen.
Amen. When you're in your assignment, you can do that. Praise the Lord. So, listen, Abraham was a prime candidate to go broke. He's headed to a land, it's in famine. There's no salary waiting for him there. No one cared whether he lived or died over there. But everywhere he went, the blessing did the job. Oh, it doesn't matter, I'm in the blessing. Oh, it's okay. I'm in the blessing. So it brought forth such an abundance that they said this about him, and it's written in the book. It said that he was rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. So he had three companies right there. Come on. He had three things going right there. And now think about this. The effects of the blessing were on the nephew, on the guy that wasn't even supposed to come. What's his name? Lot. So see, Lot, listen, they got so powerful and they got so, has so much going on that they had to separate because their crews got too big. And so Abraham says to Lot, he says, we're going to have to separate. Your guys and my guys aren't getting along that good and we're too crowded. So you take which part you want, I'll take the other. Of course, Lot, who is blessed by association. He's blessed by association. He takes the lush garden part. He should have given that to Abraham. But see, in Abraham's thinking, it didn't matter because the blessing was on him. The blessing was on him. So he could move over to the dry pasture and turn it into a blessing. It didn't matter. He could move on anywhere because he knew he didn't have to go, I got to have all this perfect over here. But no, he just said, I can take that right there because of what I'm wearing. Church, you ought to be excited about that because that's the same thing that's on you. You can do what you need to do because the blessing is on you. Amen. So anyway, he ended up next, what we find out, you know, Lot got in trouble. Chet Oleomer, three other kings, they come to fight him. There, he's trying to get Lot back and all that. But what happens? God, through the blessing, gives Abraham a strategy. And he beats these four kings with a few people. He wins the thing. So, you know, that's just so amazing. He gets these strategies. When he wins, he goes to see Melchizedek. Y'all know the story, so we're not going to stay here long. But when he, I want you to think about something. When he goes to see Melchizedek, he tithes. And this is an important story. This is when Abram really got the full revelation of what the blessing was doing. Because Melchizedek, okay, king of Salem, or he'd be like the mayor of this area is what he was. He's Shem. He's one of Noah's sons, okay? And so he's come to, he is not Jesus. He's not Jesus. You need to read your Bible. He's not Jesus. When it said he had no mother or father, no lineage, it meant he wasn't a Levite. Yeah. He came out of Noah, okay? So Levites were the only one who could take the tithe. But this man was appointed by God to receive the tithe. So Abraham comes in there, he's overflowing, he's got all the loot, he's won everything back, and he tithes to Melchizedek there in the city. And Melchizedek says something to him that brought revelation to him. He got the full impact of what was going on with him. Church, you need to know the tithe and the blessing are connected. And by the way, I just want to tell everybody out there that Creflo was not telling people to stop tithing. You better listen to the whole story. He was telling people that it's not legalism. You don't tithe out of fear. You don't tithe out of being legal. You get to tithe because you're blessed to be in the kingdom. And that's how we see it. As a human being, you don't have to do anything. Praise the Lord. Just thought I would help y'all. So you might want to hear the whole story. Danny went back and listened to it, and I've heard him talk about it before. He came out of some legalistic thinking, so he was making that correction. That's what I believe. Love you, Cref. I know you're watching me right now, probably. No, you're at church. Praise the Lord. So, but see, he didn't get, this revelation in Sunday school, Abraham. He got it when he tithed. All of a sudden, Melchizedek said, "You're blessed." He recognized it. And Genesis 14:19 says, "And he blessed him." So now the high priest is blessing him. So he's going, "Well, I've heard this before. I know about this." And he said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God." Listen to this. "Possessor of heaven and earth." Well, you know, he meant that God was possessor of heaven and earth. Really? Is that what he really meant? Because if you read the next line actually says, and blessed be God Most High. So what's he doing? Repeating himself? No, he's saying, you're possessor of heaven and earth. You're in covenant with God. And then he talks about God on the next line. And now, how can I prove this is true? Look at Romans 4. I think it's something like verse 9. It says, he was the heir of the whole earth.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow. Praise God.
Yeah. That's just really different right there, isn't it? He was the heir. And so, praise the Lord. I'm just jumping ahead of myself. Now, let's look at this. When you look at Abraham, you can see that the blessing does much more than just do finances. Strategies, win a war. And then we see in Deuteronomy 28 what the blessing will do, right? It's way more than financial stuff if you really read it. In verse 7 of Deuteronomy 7, it said the Lord will cause your enemies to rise, will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated in your face. So your enemy will be put down because of the blessing. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. You're going to break that thing up. It's going to fall apart. It just strips the curse right out. Amen. So, that's good, right? So lack, sickness, disease, depression, distress, and sometimes other people's behavior can be take, it would be your enemy, but the blessing can take care of it.
Right.
It'll strip the curse part right away from you. It'll get rid of that. You, whatever's your enemy has been defeated.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, we're really familiar with this. Listen to this scripture, 13. The Lord will make you to be the head, not the tail.
Yeah.
You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the, now stay really close with me. I want to show you something. We're getting into what I wanted to show you. If you heed the commandments of the Lord, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so shall, you shall not turn aside from any of the words, okay, which I command you this day. Are you with me?
Yes.
To the right or to the left, to go after other gods. Now, we have to ask ourselves this question. What does this look like for a New Testament believer? Because they had a bunch of laws, like 600 and something. 613. Okay. So, we don't live under legalism or earning. So, it's not like this. If you mind me, I'll bless you. That's not... It's more like if you'll follow my path, you'll be on the blessing.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. It's more like that for us. So, we're not earning the effects of the blessing. We're wearing the blessing. And it came on us because Jesus fulfilled the law and then became the curse for us, right? So, let me go backwards with this and I want to show you something. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. Sorry, the Lord butted in on me and told me something. Okay. To the right or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. Okay, so listen to me now. Let me translate. If you believe the word and the promises, and you obey what he says to live in them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You feel the difference?
Yes.
Okay. So, and if you don't let the devil call the shots. That's what that's telling you. Don't let the devil call the shots. That's what going after other gods is for us. I don't think anybody's tempted to go to the Buddhist temple tonight. I don't think you're tempted to, for any of the other, whatever, New Age. You're a Holy Ghost Christian.
Amen.
But going after other gods for us would be being anxious. Being worried, because worry is meditating on what the devil can do.
Yeah.
Now, do you see what I'm saying? So the blessing will work if you don't let the devil call the shots. If you don't let him get you worried. If you don't let him get you anxious. If you don't let him. Church, you have to get a hold of your mind. You have to start thinking right. Now, so you serve the enemy when you get fearful. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. God, when you find out how much God loves you, you shouldn't have to worry about anything.
Amen.
Now, we have a little fun here. I want to show you something. Do you remember Brother Copeland's story about Aunt Eileen? Anybody? Aunt Eileen? Okay. So, Brother Copeland goes to preaching. He comes home and his mom is upset. She's rushing in the room. She's saying, Kenneth, come get back in the car. Aunt Eileen's in the hospital. She's dying. We got to go now. She's frantic. She's anxious. Okay? Stay with me, church. You're going to find out something here. Kenneth says, Mama, I'm going to change my shirt. I'm going to eat my eggs. And then we'll get up and go. She's freaking out. Why did he do that? Because he didn't want the spirit of death calling the shots. Do you hear me? Yeah. He didn't want the spirit of death calling the shots. So by the time they get to the hospital, Aunt Eileen is dead. The doctor's filling out the death certificate. The kin folks are crying. And the devil said to Kenneth, see there, you're too late. And Kenneth said to the devil, who asked you? You aren't the Lord here. So then he goes over to Aunt Eileen. He reads some Bible verses that the Holy Ghost tells him to read. Then he speaks to her in the name of Jesus and said, Aunt Eileen, wake up. Aunt Eileen opens her eyes and says, well, Kenneth, what are you doing here? And Mama goes, Kenneth, look at her stomach. She's got some kind of tumor or something. She says, that's what's choking her to death. That's what's killing her. He lays his hands on it. In the name of Jesus, it shrinks. She's gone. The woman gets out of the hospital. Don't let the devil call the shots. You're going to let him call the shots if you get all frantic and in fear and you don't know what to do. And then just tell him, you're not the boss of me. You told your big brother that. I told Sissy that all the time. You're not the boss of me. She thought she was. Boy, when we were little. Like, you're not the boss of me. So, you know you did it. Well, do that to the devil. Who said I'm going to lose? Who said I'm going to die? Who said I'll go broke? Who said I won't have favor? Who said? Because God said I will.
Yes.
Amen. He didn't let death lead in the situation. No other God's lead. That's what Deuteronomy means to us. You don't let the God of this world lead you around. And it won't just be with fear. Sometimes it's because of your flesh. Well, I don't want to. Well, I didn't hear anymore. Why do I have to do that? That's the devil too. Amen. All right. So, you're in the lead. Now think about this. You are, according to what we just read, the head. That means you're in the lead. Does it? So you're not, when you're in the, if you're the head dog on the sleigh, pulling the sleigh, sled. That's the best view. But, y'all will get that in a minute. But, you're looking at the view. You're leading where you're going. You have the view. You're out in front. So you have to get all those other butts out of the way.
There you go. Amen.
But, y'all get that, what I'm saying. It worked perfectly right there, didn't it? You're the head. You're not the tail. You don't come in last. Don't have another God before you. Observe this. Observe this. So what's, okay, so it said, if you'll observe what I'm telling you today, then the blessing's going to be on you. What was he telling them that day? That they're the head and not the tail. That they're above only and not beneath. That blessing will overtake them. This is what he's telling them today. Observe that you are the head. Observe that you're not beneath. You're above only. Yes. Everybody always just runs it into some kind of legal thing. Well, if we obey everything God tells us to do, then the blessing will work. Well, I'm telling you what to do right now. Observe that you're the head, not the tail. Observe that your basket runs over. Observe that you find favor. Observe that the blessing is on you. Observe that. Look at that. Because particles obey the observer. Praise the Lord. You're the head. So you are an overcomer, not an undercomer.
Amen.
You're over. You go over. You go over. You're not under the circumstances. So it would do you good just to learn that part that Brother Copeland did. Who said?
Yep.
When that comes to you, you can just say, well, who said?
Yeah.
Well, it ain't going to rain at your house. Who said? Because you're not the Lord. You're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of the clouds. I am.
That's right.
I'm the boss of the jet stream.
Yeah.
God told me to pray for the jet stream. I've been talking to the jet stream.
Amen.
It's a La Nina year. It has something to do with it. Now, we're going to close with something really, really important that I think will change your life. On the way over to the hospital, Kenneth was doing something. He determined not to yield to his flesh. He made up his mind that he would walk in the Spirit and exercise the Lordship of Jesus. Okay? He was doing that in that situation. And then this is the big thing. I want you to get this. While he's on his way, he keeps quoting this. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that's in me than what's trying to take Aunt Eileen. Greater is he that's in me than what's trying to kill her. Greater is he that is in me than that. Come on, come on, church. Wake up. Don't miss this part. So what's he doing? He's feeding himself. He's working it. He's saying, you know what? I'm above only. You know what? I have authority over this. You know what? Somebody else died and they rose from the dead. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and several other people. And he sent forth his word and he healed people. And he's thinking about all this. You got to get this part right now. So he's thinking about all this and he's saying, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. So he's talking this. And so, you spirit of death, you're arrested in Jesus' name. So he's working on this. Now, here's what you need to know. Observe the word. Do it when you're on your way to prayer. When you're on your way to preach. When you're on your way to pray. When you're on your way to the meeting. Whatever meeting. Business meeting, build a house meeting, buy some property meeting, whatever it is, when you're headed to the situation, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm able. I'm anointed on a level the world is not familiar with, all to the glory of God. I'm not bragging. God gave me this. And you're talking it and you're thinking about it. Now, I haven't given you you're excited, but I want you to hear this. So, He's meditating. Greater is he that is in me. Listen, Amanda tended to someone and someone else in here ran into someone who had a seizure this week. Who was the other person? Was it Bree? Who? It was Quinn. Yeah. Okay. Greater is he that is in me than that person having a seizure right now. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me, that person who's coughing real hard right now. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that, you know, IRS bill comes in the mail. Greater is he that is in me than whatever's in this envelope. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he. So I'm using that scripture, but you understand that this is going on the inside. But I want you to hear this. Do that when you make a decision, when you make a deal. When you're headed to pray for someone, when you're going somewhere, when you're in it, whatever you're doing, do it as you go. When you're going to deal with someone's body, the authority of God's residing in me. I'm anointed to remove burdens and destroy yokes. When I lay hands on, I'm going to church this morning and I'm going to pray over the sick. And when I lay my hands on them, they will be healed, because greater is he that is within me than that thing that is on them. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. Now, here's what I want you to get. When you get there, let's say when you get to the place where you're actually going to have to act on this, the revelation of what you're saying will be working in you. Get it, church. It'll be working in you. You stirred it up and now it's in there going click, 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 click. And when you get there, it's working in you. This is a fresh revelation. It's working in you. Greater seed is in me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm not taking that. I'm going over. Now that's working. That's working. That's working. So when Kenneth got there, he said, I knew that what I said all the way over here was working in me. My authority was working in me. Did that just give you some bullets? You get that? See, the word will be working and then it'll do the work. Now, does that just take meditation to a whole new level? All right, I'm going to go. I'm on my way. I got to go over here. We're going to make a deal today. Greater is he. Greater is he. I'm finding my assignment today, because greater is he than the devil that tries to get me in deception. I know what I'm supposed to do today, because I know, because greater is he. He's bigger than any deception. And you start talking this, and then you get in that moment and the thing is working for you. It's kind of like kick starting your motorcycle. Yeah. We used to kick start ours.
Yeah.
I had my second one. I had a little electric thing, but I kick start my dirt bike. And yeah, I had to do it a couple of times to get it going. Uh-huh. But once it got going, it ran. It took me where I needed it to go.
Yes.
If you put it in there, it'll take you where you want to go. Y'all are too quiet. This has got me so excited. I'm excited about it. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm observing that right now, that I am the head.
Amen.
I go to the top of my company. I go to the top of prosperity. I will not turn away from these words and follow another God. I'm anointed. I win. I will not turn away from these blessing words. I will not turn away that my enemy is defeated. I will not turn away that I'm in the land of plenty. I will not turn away that my food and water is blessed. I will not turn away that it rains on my land. I will not follow other gods.
Right.
Amen. I'm going to buy this myself. I'm just, thank you, Jesus, for it. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, it's free. Okay. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed out here in the country. I'm going to the city Friday. I'm going to the city, Washington, D.C. And I'm going to be blessed there. And greater is he that is within me than anything over there. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm safe on the sidewalk. I'm safe in the meetings I'm in. I'm safe in the museums. I'm safe wherever I go, because I'm the head, not the tail, and I am Psalm 91. That's who I am. I'm not going to follow other gods. I am protected by Psalm 91. I dwell in the secret place. I'm not going to follow. Oh, no. The safest place to be is in the will of God. That's what I'm going to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. So everything I put my hands to do prospers. Everything. Everything I put my hands to do prospers. I win. No matter what the weapon is, I win because I'm not following that God. I'm not going to follow that God. I'm not going to go home and lay awake tonight wondering how I'm going to get over whatever. I actually don't have anything to get over. But I'm not going to worry about it. Because I'm not going to follow after that other God. Because I'm saying it all day long today. I said it. So this is what I said when you caught me in the bathroom a while ago and you kind of looked at me like, what are you doing? I was in there saying, greater is he that is in me, he that is in the world. I can deliver this. Because I was actually kind of tired when I got here. And I'm trying to catch over a couple of days here. I was doing some plumbing last night outside at 11:30 and I was a little bit tired. Thank God John came this morning and fixed it. Glory to God, my hero. But I'm a little bit tired. And I said, nuh-uh. I'm not going to have one weak spot. The people are going to get what you want to say to them, Jesus. They're going to get it. Because greater is he that is in me than what's going on with whether I'm tired or not. Greater is he. That's the God I'm following, the greater one. I'm going to observe what he said in the blessing and not what's written over in the next page in the curse. The devil's not getting my stuff. And he's not getting my joy. And he's not getting my health. And he's not getting my flock. He's not getting you, my friends. He's not getting you. He's not having you. He's not going to have you. I said everything I do will prosper. Why? Because I'm the head. And I'm not the tail. Amen. I have authority over any and every devil that would try something. We just need to be wise and watch. And don't just fall back into what another God's trying to tell you. No. Yeah, Deb. That's right. I'm the head. You're the head. I have authority over sickness. I have authority over pain. I have authority over lack. I have authority over things that don't work right. So let me just ask you this. What are you going to say on the way to your next situation? What are you going to be saying when you're driving there? What are you going to say when you're about to board the plane? What are you going to say when you're, we're about to find out what we're going to say. We're going to talk to our senators and we're going to talk to our congressmen and we'll talk to some of our friends. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? What are you going to say, about the rain? What are you going to say about the heat? I'll tell you the number one thing I've heard everybody say about the heat. You ready? It's hot. You can have what you say. Every time someone says it, I say, it's 80 degrees. It's 80 degrees. It's 80 degrees. And I go outside myself and go, it's hot. It's 80 degrees. It's 80 degrees. Because I'm not going to follow that. We need to be talking what we want. Every person that's been my mentor has said this to me. You're going to have what you say. Amen. So what are you going to say in your next situation? Whether it's praying for someone. Some of you on Sunday morning, you're going to be praying for people. You're just going off alone to get some wisdom. What are you going to say on the way to go pray? Are you just going to say, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, it just never has worked out before. And I just don't know if it's, Lord, could you just please? Could you just please? That's not the prayer to say. What you need to do is get that thing working. Get it going. Start it up. Or whatever you write, you know. But get started up. You be the starter. You be the starter. You're probably an electric starter. Yeah, the button. So all you children, you know, that you're driving these cars down, you go, oh, we have a push button on our car. My grandpa had a push button on his old truck.
That's right.
It's not new. It even had an extra thing on the floor where you could, y'all remember those trucks?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, praise the Lord. So what are you going to say? Will you wonder? Will you fear? Or you will say something that's going to turn on the working word. Turn on the working word. So it'll be working for you when you get there. This is life changing. Because it takes meditation to a whole new level. It's not just what you're getting up saying while you're drinking your coffee. Talking about commanding your day. This is actually, you're right on your way. So you don't have to say anymore, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You can say this, I'm keen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and I drop right into what I'm supposed to do. I drop right into where I'm supposed to be. I get right in there. I will be where I'm supposed to be every minute of the day. I'm going to be right there with the right people at the right time. I'm going to show up. Right. Well, we just don't know what we're going to do. I can remember when we were all, you were a little kid back then, but all the guys were trying to decide how to, they were trying to start a church, and they got some of the people from some of our meetings, remember, and they got something going. And there was always this confession, well, we don't really know where we're going. We don't really, that the leaders were going, well, we really, and me and Deb would just go, oh, we don't really know where we're going. And they didn't go. It lasted for a few years and went right out. Sound like something Brother Copeland would do. We will know where we're going. And we don't have to figure it out, because if we figure it out, we're following another God. Amen. You receive this tonight?
I do.
Start that motor up, baby. Run it on the way. I'm going to my next thing. I'm going to my next meeting. What's going to happen? What am I going to influence? What if we all did that before we came to church?
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm the head and not the tail, and I'm going to walk in there, and I'm going to bless somebody. I'm going to say something to someone in this building, and it'll help them. I'm going to bless someone along the way. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.